Blog Talk Radio.
The heaviest thing John Jameson carried to Dublin was his family motto, Sine Metu, without fear. It was quite a load for one man to shoulder. In 1780, it took a bit of courage to open a distillery, plus a healthy supply of barley. Only a man who knows fear can truly be brave. Luckily for us, that man also made whiskey.
I'm so glad you're here.
And luckily for John Jameson, Dublin wasn't going to let him do it alone. Our family motto, Sine Metu, means without fear. Welcome to the family.
How about the possibility of you and I? Lady, can we try? Lady, say you with it. If you're not with it, then excuse me.
Can't make you stay. You wanna go? Sugar, I can't make you love me.
Product of Damon Network. This is the Trenton Mix Show. I'm your host, Ricardo Richard, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dialing 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. You guys, I am so excited about tonight because, you know, tonight marks like the actual day where I'm an official host. So it's just literally like a dream come true. I'm so excited, you know, to be your host. I also want to let you guys know I have this amazing web series on YouTube. It's called Hurt People, Bitter and Broken. And, you know, our subtitle on YouTube is Bitter and Broken Web Series. We have two amazing seasons. I would love for you guys to watch it. I really, really worked hard on it. You can follow us on Facebook, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, the series. Also follow us on Instagram, Hurt People Series. You can follow me on Facebook, Ricardo, R-I-C-A-R-D-O, Richard, R-C-H-A-R-D. And, yeah, and also follow us. We're also on the CTF TV network, and we're also on Hamilton Radio Network on the Roku channel. So I'm so excited. So I got a special treat for you guys, right? So I have a friend of mine and also a fellow co-star of mine. Her name is Khadijah. This woman is so amazing. She's an amazing woman of God. She has this great foundation that she's going to talk to us about called A Dream Deferred. She has a podcast called A Changed Mind. I got a chance to listen to it, and it was just, oh my goodness, it was just breathtaking. And then she also has a book called Turning Our Hearts Back to God. So she was in a play called Marriage Single, Everything in Between. And Khadijah, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much, Rich, for Ricardo, for having me. I'm so excited to be a part of this experience, and congratulations for you becoming a host. That's amazing.
Thank you. I just want to say, you know, before I really am the type of person, you know, I like giving people their flowers while they're here, right? So I just wanted to tell you, you know, I was telling you this before we got on air, just what an amazing human being you are. You are such a gift, you know, not only to your family, but to the body. And I got an opportunity, you know, to act with you. And it's crazy. And I think I told you this the first time, you know, I auditioned, you know, you was already a part of the play. I felt like I knew you. You know, some people be like, oh, that's like wow, corny and stuff like that. But I literally, when I met you and you were just so comfortable and so helpful, you know what I mean? Because I'm just coming in. I don't know anybody. I'm nervous. And I just felt something about your spirit. I was just like, yo, I feel like I know this girl, but I know that I didn't know you because I've never saw you before. But I just felt like it was something about you that was familiar to me. And you was one of the first people, you know, I remember after rehearsal one time, you was just telling me about standing in the gap, you know, and about praying for our loved ones, you know. And that was the first time I heard that. And that was the first time I ever heard someone, you know, refer to God as, you know, the nickname Papa that you described him as.
Papa.
And again, I just wanted to tell you, you know, what a blessing you are, you know, a big spiritual sister, you're an amazing human being, you know, so I know your family is just so blessed to have you. So I just wanted to give you your flowers. Thank you for being a part of my journey. And I just love you.
Well, Rich, I love you too, and I'm so happy to just be a part of your journey as well. And I don't know, when I first met you, I just felt like I saw a light within you, and I think, you know, it was the Holy Spirit, because it's mm-hmm. like the light matches the light, you know. So I was able to connect with you and able to just be honest and have honest conversation. And from the beginning, I saw your star shine bright, and I'm praying that it continues to shine brighter and brighter each and every day. And I'm so thankful just to be a part of this, you know, experience. And I pray all of the listeners are touched. And I pray their lives are changed. And what I like to say, I used to say, is nothing special about me, right? But now I say, Papa corrected me. And he said, no, everything is special about me is because of God. So I give all glory, all honor, and all praises to God, the Most High, Jehovah. Without him, I cannot do anything. I cannot say anything, and I cannot be anything. And I don't say that from a place of, you know, just this wordplay. You know, that's one of my words, wordplay. But I say it from a place of humbleness and knowing that my help comes from the Lord. So everything that's wonderful that's within me comes from him and him alone. But thank you, Rich, because I really appreciate it. And I thank you for seeing the gift inside of me that God has placed here. And I'm excited about tonight.
Yes. So let's get started. So just tell me a little bit about yourself.
A little bit about me. I'm from Philly, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. lived in Philly my whole entire life. My background initially was like in IT. Like I started out in like systems engineering, and which is so crazy because I never imagined myself ever doing anything like that. I always wanted to be an actress, but I kind of never went for it. And I think a lot of times we have this mentality as we grow older, like we can't do these things, right? Like it's like a pipe dream in a sense. And then it wasn't until later in life that I kind of went into the acting field, actually at age 30. That kind of completely transformed my life. I just turned 34 in January. I'm also a cancer survivor. And domestic violence survivor as well. So I think the Lord just allowed a lot of adversity in my life just to strengthen me and just to let me know that with him I can do any and all things. And sometimes I feel like the Lord allows us to kind of go through different journeys just to encourage other people and to let them know that they can pull through, you know.
Yes, praise God. Yeah. You know, I just wanted to kind of rewind back because you said some key points that I kind of want to touch on. I just think it's so amazing, you know, because just like me, you know, at 30 years old, it was a turning point in my life with my best friend passing away, and it kind of opened up, you know, doors to so many different things. So I felt like when you said at age 30, it's just hopefully the listeners, people out there that's listening, it inspired people to understand, you know, to basically let them know it doesn't matter what age you are, that you could always get up and change your mind. And actually, that's the title of today's show is Change Your Mind. You know, you inspired me from your podcast called Change Mind. So tonight's topic is Change Mind, that no matter where you come from, no matter what you've been through, no matter where you are in your life, you can always get up and go and actually get and be whoever it is that you're called to be. So I love that even at 30 years old, you know, you're just like, you know what? I'm going to start a new career. Like, no matter what it looked like, no matter, you know, where I'm from, no matter who my parents are, you know, I think that's beautiful that that you was able to start a new career at 30 years old. Can you tell any of the listeners out there that, you know, might necessarily, it could be acting, it could be anything, starting a business, you know, that might be scared, and it's just like, well, I don't have the support, I don't have this and that, and just having all these different thoughts, negative thoughts, that's keeping them from really truly living out their potential. What would you say to anybody out there like that?
First, I want to kind of say, I want to rewind back a little bit because sometimes I feel like we have this conversation with people where we're like, it's kind of easier said than done, right? And I feel like if we're not honest about the conversation and about our process, you know, and transparent about those things, then people just assume that, like, you kind of just woke up one day and was like, you know what, I'm changing my life. And that's kind of not how it happens, right? Like, I think, like, even like how you mentioned, like, you had lost a good friend of yours at 30, and that kind of changed the trajectory of your life. At 30, I actually lost my father. That death, that grief, that completely changed the trajectory of my life. And it was as if God had used tragedy to completely transform and renew my mind, you know. And at the time, you know, I'm actively, you know, following Christ and, you know, a daughter of the King and, you know, and following Papa, you know, each and every day. But at that time, I was kind of in the world. I had backslid. I was like, I had backslid. Super slim.
Right,
I was out there sliding and just in the world, to be quite honest. And it wasn't until my dad died that I realized that I had been functioning in dysfunction for a long time. It was like literally like it was crazy. Like functioning in this place of dysfunction, right? And really kind of knowing you, like you kind of functional in this place and you know it's dysfunctional, but because everybody around you is dysfunctional, then it's kind of the norm, right? And because nobody can really see those cracks within you, you can see them when you get home at night, but nobody else can see them. So in your mind, you're just like everybody else. I'm just living, right? And when my dad died, it was like the Lord just pulled the veil off my eyes and things that I wasn't able to fully see, I was able to see in those moments, like in those moments going through that grief, I was able to see my life in kind of like a clear eye view. Like I could see all of this function that I never was able to see before. And at the time I was even in a relationship that I had been in for 4 years that was just, I was toxic. I wasn't happy. that I was just functioning in this place of dysfunction. And when my dad died, it was like that veil was just ripped from my eyes. And it was like, Papa was like, look, this is what's going on in your life, you know. And that moment and that time was like what completely transformed and changed my life. And it was ugly. It wasn't a pretty thing because I went through that deep depression. I had to go through that period where I had been functioning and dysfunctioning, and I'm trying to kind of walk myself back from that, right?
Yes.
And still even in that place, Rich, not completely surrendering my life over to Christ, still living in the world and thinking that I can handle things on my own. So being in that place and not realizing that I couldn't do it by myself. Like, right? So I'm still functioning in this place of dysfunction and then realizing, like, hold up. You can't do this by yourself. And that's where I hit that breaking point, and that's when I kind of rededicated my life to Christ. And it was actually not as beautiful as I'm saying it right now. It was literally like a crying out, like 4 a.m., drunk and high, and like, Lord, I need you, and if you don't help me, I'm going to lose it. And that was that moment when I was at rock bottom. I was literally at rock bottom, and had the Lord not came in and changed my life completely, I wouldn't be talking to you today. Like, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you today because that's how real it was, and that's how real that depression was, and that's how deep down and in the pit I was. And I used to often say to people, like, I feel like I'm in limbo. I would tell so many people this, Rich, like, I feel like I'm in limbo. This weird place that I can't seem to escape. And I think sometimes, even the listeners, we feel like at one point in time that we're in limbo. Like, we can't get out of this place. Like, no matter what I do, I can't get out of this place. And it wasn't until I kind of humbled myself and surrendered my life over to Christ, that's when things changed. And that's when the Lord kind of started bringing back things that I had kind of lost sight over. And it's a scripture in the Bible that says, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And that was the scripture that the Lord actually used for me to kind of will me back in and bring me back to my senses, because I had kind of, I had lost myself in the world. I had lost who I was. I lost what was authentic about Khadijah, because I was assimilating to everything that was around me that I no longer even knew who I was. So essentially, I gained these material possessions, but I had lost my soul in that very process. And that was God kind of pulling off that guck.
I want us to continue this conversation. So we have a caller. Going, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, peace. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi.
Well, I'm sorry. What was that?
No, we can hear you.
Okay, I had to interrupt this show here. Man, y'all are getting it in, man. I love the chemistry between both of y'all. And I just want to make a quick announcement right quick, okay? I want to say congratulations, Rashad, on your ONE syndication station, all-time connection record. This is your second all-time, and say this. City of Trenton, New Jersey, is so proud of you and your representation of your hometown.
Thank you so much. Wow, that feels
amazing.
Yeah, man. Keep striving. Proud of you.
Thank you. Wow, that's amazing. That's so amazing. That's definitely. I wanted to say just a lot of stuff that you were saying. I think that a lot of times, right, not to cut you off, right, but essentially, you know, at the end of the day, it's about God getting the glory right out of our lives, because we all got to stand before God when this is all over, right? I realized what's important to me, right, it changes, you know. My best friend passing away, you know, was pivotal in my life, and I was actually 27 when he died, but 30 when I started doing the acting. It's sad that death happens, right? I actually have 4 people that I know close to me pass away in these last couple of months. So sometimes you like, God, like when it rains, it pours. You get what I'm saying? But when I've come to understand this, sometimes we don't know why God do what he do. You get what I'm saying? Because he's God and we ain't. But I think it's something in that waiting area about just trusting in him. You feel what I'm saying? Like, no matter what it is, it's like, just trusting in him, like, no matter what, God, you got me, because I have moments, like, where I'm listening to you. There's times where I thought I was going to lose my mind, you know what I mean? But God has really, he's kept me, you know, and God to be your best friend. And I remember, you know, I have moments, Khadijah, where, you know, when I go through and I'm, you know what I mean, I'm ready to call my friend. I remember a couple of days after my best friend died, and I was riding down this, going over this road or whatever, over this bridge. And I was like, let me call my friend. You feel me? To let him know. Then I'm like, oh, he gone. Like, I can't call him anymore.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying? Like, he's gone. Wow. And I feel like God was reminding me the day I woke up and I started praying. And I literally felt something there. And I felt like it was the comforter. I felt like God was like, yo, I got you. Like, you feel me? I'm going to be your best friend. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I got you. Even though you can't see me, you could feel me, you know. And just listening to you is almost like a mirror, because I've been through, and a lot of times when you're talking about God or spirituality, sometimes people are just talking about the good things. You get what I'm saying? And they don't see the struggle. Like, people see, okay, Richard, you got this radio show or whatever, but people ain't see the struggle. You get what I'm saying? Like, you can't just take the victory without the struggle and the pain. You get what I'm saying? People looking at Jay-Z and Beyonce, oh, I want to be Beyonce, but you don't know the nights that she probably cried. You feel me? You don't know the times, which a million times she wanted to give up. You get what I mean? So just keep the faith, keep being strong, and I love that. All right,
so
enough about me or whatever.
I love
you
that
got this
you
foundation.
Say that, Rich. I was going to say something, if I could interject for a second. Like, what I was going to say was about kind of what you were saying. In the Bible, it says, when much is given, much is required, right? And it's kind of touching on the fact that you said, like, sometimes people think that, you know, you just get to a particular place without any adversity, right? And it's impossible. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to reach any great place in life without going through adversity. And even the trailblazers of the past, even the people that kind of went before us, they had to go through great adversity in order to get to where they are, right? And it's kind of how, like, when I look at it and when I see it, God has to build you up for where you're going. He can't just take you to the top, because you won't be able to handle the weight on the top. So what God does in each season of your life, he might give you a prophetic word or give you a vision of where you're going to be. But he has to take you through the process, and you can't skip the process, because if you skip
the
process, then when you get to that place, you don't got the weight to carry it, right? You can't carry the weight. You can't get to the top and not be able to carry the weight of the top, the jealousy, the envy, the things in which you're going to have to go through. So God, through each season of your life, he literally takes you through a refining process. And some people get caught up in the process that they never actually reach their full destination. And you can't get caught up. And what the devil does with his trickery and he's a roaring lion. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not coming to play with you. So he's sending distractions. He's sending all kind of things to get you off that place of destiny. But you got to have tunnel vision, because when you have tunnel vision, nothing can stop you from getting to that place in destiny, because you got your eyes on the prize. And who's the prize? It's the King of Kings. It's the Lord of Lords. If God say go left, I go left. If he say go right, I go right. So righteousness is narrow. It's not broad. And everybody thinks that it's a broad path. No, it's not a broad path. It's narrow. And it's hard. And it's a winding road, because sometimes you're tired.
Hard,
and sometimes you're frustrated. But you got to know that he's your strength. That's it. He's your strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid of? And you got to keep that in your mind, because if you can't keep that in your mind, then you'll be attacked mentally, physically, emotionally, because the battlefield is in your mind. It's in your mind.
Oh, my goodness. So powerful. All right, you guys. So we're going to go to our track next by Brother O and our dedication to Khadijah by songstress Nick West.
Yeah, na 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 na. Ooh, wow. Let them cut 'em down. Oh, be
An amazing song. I really, really like it. All right, now caller two. Who are you and where are you from?
Hey, sweet pea, it's Jerry. How are you?
Hi Jerry.
Hi, sweetheart. You guys are doing incredible. What a great job.
Thank you.
This show is so, listen, it's so enlightening, it's so uplifting, it's so spiritual, okay, and you're really touching me especially tonight. So thank you both for that.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
Wow. Amen.
Yep. You're gonna be a superstar, both of you.
Wow. That's prophetic. That's
Nothing
but the Lord.
Wow. Thank you so much, Jerry.
So, I love
you. Thank you so much, Jerry.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
So we love you.
I love you, too.
Yeah, you know I love you.
I know. And you know I love you, baby. You guys rock.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
Jerry.
For everything. All right, Khadijah, you know, I want to say, so we talked about that or whatever. Listen, I'm letting it already be known. I got to have you back on because I haven't even gotten into any of my questions, and we got like 30 minutes left, so I'm just going to let it be known to everybody.
No. This show goes on as long as you ask those questions. No, we not. This show's going to be doing what we do. First of all, I heard you, so this, of course, CEO, Odell and Malay, I'm not going to take too much of your time. But listen, you know, I heard your story from Ricky, and it was an inspiration to me. And the only person I could play for you tonight, Khadijah, was the great Nick West, who studied. This young lady studied under Prince and learned how to play the bass correctly under the great Prince. You know what I mean? So this show was dedicated to you, and I'm gone.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope.
So amazing.
I wanted to talk to you
Before we get to the foundation part, I wanted you to touch on, we're going to talk about the domestic violence and we're going to talk about the cancer. So let's talk about the domestic violence. Do you have any words for like anybody out there who probably experienced domestic violence, who might be in it, who might have stepped away from it, but mentally they're still there? Any words of encouragement, anything you could tell somebody who's in it that might want to leave, but they don't know what to do. Like, this is all they know, whether that's a man or as a woman going through it. Like, do you have any words that you could offer?
What I will say is that, you deserve better. And I know that, Sam, that's what everybody says. You deserve better and everything like that. But I say that from the standpoint of look at your life and look at where you are now. And sometimes you got to get, like, basic with it and just write down everything that this relationship has taken you through. Write down how it has affected your self-esteem, right? Write down how it has affected your self-esteem, because it's impossible to be in a domestic violence situation or relationship and then not affect your self-esteem, because a part of that is what makes you stay. Because in some place or another, you feel like you're unworthy. And begin to kind of go through that process with yourself. And sometimes you can say just leave, get out, but sometimes it's not even just leaving and getting out. It's more of the mental thing. And going through that mental process, because you can leave that relationship, but mentally you're still in bondage. So it kind of starts with you kind of writing those things down and really looking at it wholeheartedly and saying, you know, how has this affected my life? How has this affected my self-esteem? If you have children, how has this affected my children? Right? And then coming to that place, sometimes we have to come to ourselves and saying, Lord, I don't know how to get out of this. You know, and being honest. But I want to get out of this, and I want to be able to heal, and I want to be able to get past this. So help me to get out of this place, and help me to heal, and help me to move forward with my life, and allow God to walk you back to where you need to be. And for me, I grew up in an environment where I saw a lot of violence. Like, I saw a lot of violence. I saw a lot of chaotic things that happened. Like, my mother and my stepfather, they had a tumultuous relationship. So it was always tables being broken. It was always, you know, violence within my home. So I grew up with this really bad temper and this really bad anger. And I didn't even realize that I had it from my childhood, but it affected me as a child. So as parents, as mothers or fathers, this affects your children. It affects the way they associate with people. It affects the way they handle and communicate with people. And this affected me. So I took something that happened to me as a child, childhood trauma, and I took that into my adulthood. And I didn't know how to function in a relationship or be able to handle conflict, because I would flip out, right? And when my daughter, father, and I had gotten together, that was my first experience with actual domestic violence, right? And when it affected me, I didn't even realize how or which way to handle it, you know? And it was dangerous. And all it brought back was all of these memories of what I went through as a kid. And I was angry.
Wow.
And I was bitter. And I was mad. And for a long time, Rich, like, Ricardo, I held on to the anger and the bitterness in my heart for a long time. And it was, even after we broken up and I decided, you know what, I don't want my daughter to grow up in this environment, because we broke up when she was 9 months and he hit me when I was actually 4 months pregnant with her, like strangled me. And
strangled. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was 4 months pregnant with her, and then I remember, I never lied. I can't even make this up. I remember praying, because at the time I felt so bad. And sometimes as women, and when you're in that domestic violence situation, you feel bad, especially if you have a child. You feel bad because you feel like, you know what, I'm bringing this child in this world. I never expected to be a single parent type of household, but now I'm bringing this child into this world. But I really didn't take time to really get to know the person that I had been, you know, had been even, you know, entangled with, you know. And now you have this guilt and you have this shame that's attached to it. So sometimes the guilt and the shame makes you stay. And that's where I was. I had a lot of guilt and shame, and I felt really bad that I was bringing, you know, my daughter into this world. And already I felt like, you know, we were already splitting apart. And I'll never forget that I had prayed. And not to take anything from my daughter's father, because he had grown up in a domestic violence situation as well. So, like, it's kind of like, you're serious. Hurt people hurt people. So he grew up in that environment. So all that did was kind of reinforce. Literally, it reinforced what he grew up seeing that. So that reinforced every relationship that he had with women was dysfunctional. So the Lord literally, like, I remember praying this rich. I said, Lord, this was so crazy because my relationship with Papa wasn't even where it is at now. Like, I had a relationship with Papa that was like, all right, I call him when I need him, right? And it was like one-sided.
Like a genie or something.
You know. Yeah, right. I had to repent for that. But even in that, his sovereignty and his love for me, he still showed up. And I remember praying, and I said, Lord, if this relationship is not for me, right, because I was already walking my way out of it, I said, give me a sign that I can't ignore. The next day, my daughter was 9 months old. He slipped. And I'm like, I couldn't believe how fast that sign came, right? And I knew from that point forward, I had to get out of that relationship. If I wanted my daughter to have any type of normalcy in her childhood, I knew that I had to walk away from that relationship. And I knew it was not only for my benefit, but it was also for the benefit of her as well as her father. Because who knows, we were like oil and water. And I'm not going to act like I was a firecracker as well. So it was like, once I got ignited, he got it. It was tumultuous. So it was just like a place that I didn't need to be in. And the Lord, He showed up and showed out and revealed to me that this is not where you need to be, and I walked away. And I even go back and I think about how many women are incarcerated because they didn't walk away from these situations, and they slipped,
or they
killed the guy, or they hurt the guy. They killed the guy, or they hurt the guy, or they, you know what I mean? And the children are in the system now. So it goes so far back to everything, because it takes one split moment to black out. And the devil is waiting for that one moment. That's what he's waiting for. He thrives in chaos. So he's waiting for that one moment where you lose your senses. And so he can, so your whole life is changed, right? And in that place, I had to use wisdom, and I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed me to see things, because who knows where I would be. My daughter is 10 now, but thank God, you know, that I walked away from that situation when she was little, because I didn't want her to go through what I went through and see a lot of the things that I saw growing up.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. You're so true. Oh, my. All right. We got to continue. All right. So call it three. Who are you and where are you from?
Caller in the line. All right, we get back to that call a little later on. Caller was probably wasn't ready.
All right.
And listen, this is a great, great, great testimony, what you guys are talking about tonight. You know, with the young lady Khadija saying that, you know, she wanted her child just to be normal, just to have an opportunity to see things in a positive light. No dysfunctionality, and be a good mom. Man, what a great interview. All right, I'm going again.
You know what I wanted to say, Khadija? A lot of people don't understand that trauma, you know, it lingers. And I think people don't – see, this is the thing that I want to say now. I want to say two things, and then we're going to go talk about the cancer. People don't understand. We grow up in the hood, right? And we grow up and we think in the way that we live and we think is the norm. It's our norm, but it ain't everybody's norm. At least that's what I saw until I got older and I was able to experience different environments. And I'm like, so everybody don't be getting low when gunshots going, you know what I'm saying? Like, so everybody's not, you get what I mean? Like, you just think it's the norm and it's really not. So we have these accustoms and we have these, you know, getting cussed out. Not saying that was my story, but sometimes people getting cussed out by their parents, or you get what I'm saying? And people feel like that's the norm and they pass it on to their kids. I want to say, like, for me, and if God bless me with my kids, it's about breaking generational curses. You know, and I always go back to my father, because my father didn't have a father. My grandfather, before I even knew who he was, died of a drug overdose. So for my biological father to be this amazing man, you know, to teach me about integrity, to teach me about work ethic, you get what I'm saying? It's things that I'm going to pass on to my kid, to my son. So one thing my dad told me, I remember I was like 20 years old, maybe a couple years ago, he was like, yo, I want you to go talk to somebody. And I already was talking to somebody when I was 20 years old before anybody in my family knew, or, you know, it was important because I was studying social science. I have a degree in social science. I think it's this thing in the black community is like, oh, something wrong with you if you go talk to somebody. And I always feel like something wrong with you if you don't go talk to somebody, because people don't understand. It's traumatic growing up in the hood. Like, it's traumatic. Yeah. And people, you got to unlearn a lot of things. And you're taking that stuff in your adulthood, and then you're teaching your kids the same thing. And, you know, and then it's just this generational thing that just continues to happen and fester like a disease. And it needs to take somebody that's going to be like, you know what, it's time to break those generational curses. Because it don't matter that my grandfather, you feel what I'm saying, died of a drug, you know, from drugs. I don't got to be like that. I don't have to live like that, because we all got choice in this life. No matter what we come from or what we see. And another thing I wanted to say too, when we were talking about God, I want people to understand this too. You know, I didn't grow up in church. I got 17 years old, I believe I had rededicated, or 16, my grandfather had died, and it was those moments for me when, you know, he passed. I want to say this too, and I want to apologize for anybody out there who ever been hurt by the church. You know, I felt like there were times in my walk where I backslid, was living any kind of way, talking about God, but really wasn't living nothing. You feel me? And I want to apologize from the bottom of my heart, because wherever I am now with my relationship with God, see, I didn't believe God could really start changing things in my life. See, when my best friend died or whatever, I wanted to jump in the casket with him. You feel me? So what I understand is that if you're still amongst the living, God still got purpose. And see, what the enemy want us to do is be in these situations and make us feel like we're alone and nobody don't care about us, nobody don't love us. And, you know, people feel like the church, they judge so hard, so people feel like they can't even come to God. And the church is for people that's sick, you know? Like, Jesus died for the people that was sick, you know what I mean? Like, he was amongst the sinners, you get what I mean? So I want to encourage anybody that's out there to let y'all know, like, God really love you, like, for real, for real. Like, he love you, and he see you, the person that you're going to be. See, me, when I was out there in the world, there were times where I was the person where I gave my life to God, went back in the world, drinking, doing whatever. And one thing I remember, my friend, my cousin, like, I grew up like the golden child. I grew up, had, like, honor roll. I did everything right growing up. And then it was a point in time in my life where I wanted to rebel against everything, because I was so hurt inside, and I was so tired of being perfect, so I rebelled, right? And I got so lost, you feel me, to the point where I didn't even know who I was anymore, you know? And I remember people trying to tell me about the goodness of God, and I would walk right past them, but I didn't have the vocabulary, the language to say, yo, I'm really hurting. But guess what? We taught as a man, like, don't cry, don't be a punk, don't do this, and we're teaching our young black kids, we're teaching our young kids, like, oh, you a pussy, like, don't cry, you a punk, like, don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, all of this, that's what I'm saying, like, we're programmed, the way we're programmed, like, tell your little son, it's okay to cry. That's why sometimes I got to sit back, you know, it's times where I've learned things from people, and I had to tell my nephew, like, it's okay to cry. You get what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's change the narrative. You feel what I'm saying? Like, let's change the narrative. Yeah. And like I said, God is real. God loves us at the end of the day. I want people to know is that we all here for a purpose, and we all don't know when it's time for us to clock out. So at the end of the day, do you really think God really brought us here to be working, to be struggling, to be hating people, to be bitter, to be angry? Well, we could just let it go and be free. And I ain't saying it don't always look easy, but if you take it one step at a time, one day at a time, and really just be like, listen, God, one thing about me right now, I got such a real relationship with God. I'll be like, God, yo, I'm mad. You feel me? I'll be like, God, yo, like, this person going to cut me off on the road. I'm going to need you, God, not just in church. I'm going to need you on this road before I say something I don't need to be saying. You get what I'm saying? So it's just about really being real with God, being intentional. And I think if we're real with God, like you told me, you know, the other day, like, be real with God. Say, God, I'm broken. Khadija, I was messed up. You feel what I'm saying? I was messed up. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with saying it no more because guess what? Like, my cousin told me or whatever, like, she told me she was out there on the street doing drugs and stuff. And she was like, you know, it ain't my business. It's God's business. So before, when I used to do my dirt and I would hide from it because I wanted everybody to think I was perfect and I had everything going and I went to school and got a degree and, you feel me, and I made a lot of money and all that stuff and I still wasn't happy. You feel me? And I really had to realize, like, God had to really bring me through. And I was running, Khadija. I was running away from God. I'm like, no, I still want to have fun. I'm young. Oh, I could. You feel me? When I get older, I give my life to God. And then guess what? At 26 years old, I'm standing over a casket with my best friend. You feel me? Thinking that we got so much life. We got so much more time. And I want to tell everybody out there, you don't know how much time you got. You feel me? Get right with God now. Come as you is, with the bottle, with the weed, with, you feel me, getting out of the bed with the person that you slept with. Like, listen, you don't got one second, one breath. You don't know what's going to happen. Get right with God. And the track is next by the internet. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Before we go to the next track, go ahead. Say what you was about to say real quick.
No, go ahead. Go to the track.
Okay, so the track next is by the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting. I'm sorry if I'm saying Brother O and Dwell A. I'm sorry, I'm probably saying it part wrong, but.
Been together less than a week, but I swear it seems like 2 years at least. Whether face to face or over the phone, when I hear your voice, I'm right at home. More than a man could ever want, girl. Cameras to see if I'm being pawned. Everything about you is so sexy. You do your own thing. You got your own money. Everything about you is so damn. You're so damn beautiful. More than a man could ever want, girl. Asking to see if I'm being torn. Ain't no sense in lying to you or to myself.
I love you,
and I'm expecting it all.
I
Oh my goodness, Khadijah. I was feeling it, man. Like this Holy Spirit ain't listening. I'm feeling it right now. I'm feeling hot or whatever, like, because I know, and we about to talk about the cancer thing, and I just know, like, what God has done, you feel me, in my life, and at the end of the day, like, I used to be real ashamed about it, you feel me, and I'm just like, at the end of the day, like, why am I going to be ashamed of this man who just literally, you know, who died for me, who loves me, who really, like, at the end of the day, like, people, like I said about this radio show, and this is such a blessing, but at the end of the day, anything that I acquire in this life is only by the grace of God. So when people look at me and they say congratulations, I'm so grateful, but I know at the end of the day, it ain't me. You feel me? I know where my blessings come from. I know who lives inside of me every day, and the best relationship right now, I feel like, it's just to be real with God. Like, I've been in situations that I ain't really know how I was going to get out of it. You know, and like I said, when you're on that, when God breaks you, like when you all at your bottom, emotionally, spiritually, like I was messed up. You get what I'm saying? And I, like I said, I just want to give people out there hope. Like, you feel me? It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter what kind of life you live. You feel me? God still loves you. But one thing about God is you got to access him. And the one thing I also want to say before I go on call it three, a lot of times people be like, oh, I know God, God know my heart. Yeah, he really do know your heart. And he wants you to give you, he wants us to give him his heart. You get what I mean? It's like, one thing about me, let me say this last point, and I'm going to let you say. One thing I say, like, everybody that know me, I know I love the singer Brandy and I love Tyler Perry. I know Brandy, but do I have a personal relationship? Can I call him like, yo, Brandy, can I get some tickets to your next concert? No. So it's the same thing. We say we know God. Yeah, we know him, but do we really know him? You get what I'm saying? Like, do we really, really know him? Mm-hmm. Is we getting up every day and really being intentional and spending time with him? And one of the best things recently for me is I've been meditating, and I'll probably be doing it wrong. You get what I'm still learning, where I'm breathing out. I'm sitting up, you know, when I wake up, do 20 minutes of just breathing in and out and just thinking about God. And it's been, you know, it's been changing. I've been making changes. And like you said, it's the process. You're not going to get where you want to be right away, but just trust in the process. But go ahead, say what you need to say, and then we're going to go to call it three.
No, what I was going to say is that, like, people think that when they go to God that they have to be all put together, right? So the world makes you think, and religion makes you think that you got to be all put together. Like, I can't go to God until I stop smoking weed. I can't go to God until I stop having sex. I can't go to God until I stop drug dealing. I can't go to God until I do all of these different things. And all of these things are just works, right? And when God sees us, he doesn't see the filthiness that we are. He sees the what Christ did on the cross for us, right? And what religion does, and what's so bad, and what really hurts people in church is what is religion. It's people judging you based on that outward appearance, that outward show, and not seeing you the way Christ sees you. Because when you see people the way Christ sees them, you see the finished work in them. So although they may be in prostitution, although they may be stripping, although they may be selling drugs, or although they may be on drugs, strung out, we see people the way God sees them, right? And God loves all his children. And when he looks at them, he sees the finished work of Christ. So when we go to God, we don't go to God put all together with this mask on. We go to God empty, an empty vessel, and we go to God humbly and say, Lord, listen, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know how to stop. When I went to God, I was high, drunk in my freaking kitchen. I wasn't even in no church. I was in my kitchen high, drunk, and like, Lord, I need you to help me, because if you don't help me, I'm going to lose my mind. I wasn't all put together, and what religion makes you think is that you have to be put together, or you have to be this perfect person, and God doesn't want perfection. Only perfection is with Christ. Christ is perfection. We are not perfection. We are literally walking this thing out each and every day, wanting to be more and more like Christ, but allowing God and the Holy Spirit to purify us. So when I see the filthiness within me, when I look at my brother or sister, regardless if they're where I am or not, I see the same thing that Christ did in me, he can do in them. And religion teaches you something else. Religion teaches you to look at the outward man and not the inward man. And it's not our job as people to change anyone. So I can't change you. It's Christ's job to change you. But how do I show Christ to you? It's through love. It's not through doctrine. It's through love. Because if I can't show you love, if I can't show you love, then the message that I preach about Christ is meaningless. Because he said, you'll know my disciples by how they love. You don't know my disciples by what they say, because many will say on the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. So that means it's works. Your works is as filthy as rags. It doesn't mean anything to God. It's love. And that's how you, that's how you get to people. And that's how God sees us. He sees us through the eyes of love. That's how he can be able to reach down and see the prostitute, or reach down and see the crack addict, because he's looking at us through the eyes of love, period.
It's
and if you're looking
love,
at anybody from the outside of religion, then you messed up, and you'll know them by their fruit. That's how you know a church that's not walking in the Holy Spirit, because they're looking at you from the outward appearance, and they're not looking at you through love. They're looking at what you got on, and they're not looking at you through the eyes of love.
Yes. Oh my God. That's that love.
All I want is relationship. All I want is a relationship with Papa. I'm not perfect. And I don't pretend to be perfect. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes, but don't follow me. Follow Christ. And only follow me as I follow Christ. And that's it.
That's it. Oh my. So powerful. One thing about love, you can't see it, but you know when it's real. Caller 3, who are you and where are you calling from?
Well, how you doing, Ricky? Ricardo, I'm sorry, and Khadijah,
hi.
Hello. No, I have to admit, and thank you to producer for letting me through on Delhi and Gozi and Delhi. But I just wanted to say this. You know, I have to give you two credit. You're doing some real soul searching for people who are at your age range, and it is not easy for you. Our generation and millennials these days, because when you thought that it was going to get better, and I can speak as a mature one amongst you all, it's not getting better unless you work hard at trying to preserve what you've got to work with. I got to give it to you too. I'm even surprised that you have such an adamant respect for God, because people don't make it easy for you to serve them when they throw in different personal perceptions of what you should believe in, instead of you believing in yourself and what God has given you to work with. You know, it's not easy for, you know, you younger people, especially of your ages, to understand that there are people out there who still respect you regardless of your belief, you know, because you'd be surprised, people over the decades. Even a gentleman I listened to him talk about 2 weeks ago, say, I guess amongst the group of people sitting around, he said that he was an atheist. He didn't upset me, because he has to get to where he has to understand that it's not about him. Little do he understand. And I've even, as a teenager back in the day, had people to, in the name of God, cry out when they thought they never would believe in a God, as a candy striper in a hospital and a critical care unit. And when they find out what they've been missing, some of them, they just survive on faith, as well as the doctors coming to their aid as well, and that made them actually catch themselves. And, you know, I really admire your need to, like, reach in to talk about the ills of what goes on out here, and how some of the younger persons do try to get a grasp on what's going on in their life. I've seen a few young fellas who I knew from the neighborhood over the years. I didn't have time to stop and talk. And some of the young ladies, I know they're trying to search and find themselves, even though they're just acting as a cohesive group to try to be there for encouragement for each other. Because, you know, over the years, even before you were born, I can say there have been people criticizing, especially younger people, about not wanting to get out there to work or not wanting to do the right thing. You know, I know that's a lie in a lot of cases. I've seen them actually make the effort to do that. And if they could squeeze in time to go to church, some will, and some can believe right where they are at home, wherever they are sitting or laying as we speak. So it's not right for people to pass hard, fast judgment. Everybody's not out there trying to hurt each other, kill each other. or engage in domestic violence, contrary to what some people may think. But some people don't understand the concept of anger management. Anger management can come in different forms, and it's for them to want to calm down, hopefully by the communication and the patience, persistence, or the support from the person, even who they may be angry at, and understand anger management can wind up going in so many directions and steering us, in your cases, in the wrong direction. Let me get a grip and understand why we don't need to engage in anything that would be the cause of domestic violence. I really admire you all for really wanting to reach out and say, we're trying to find ourselves. Can anybody out there who's older understand where we're coming from? Well, you'd be surprised some of them that do. They don't even know how to communicate because they weren't even brought up correctly. And as a result, with you all communicating like you all are doing now and staying on track the best you can and expressing yourself and maybe even give reasons as to why you thought, I admire it. I saw a young lady one time coming, coming out of the dollar store. I'm not going to name no specifics because I don't want to hurt nobody in the process. But here in Philadelphia, she was coming, she was almost at the edge of the sidewalk away from the dollar store going uphill, and the police came walking swiftly behind her. And I said, oh, gosh. I said, you know, I knew I was going to go to the store, but there were several younger guys who were in the police force. And it was like, it really bothered me to see a person who don't even realize that, you know, if it's an issue of earning potential, maybe the time that she put in and not understanding that she don't need to go to the dollar store, she can hopefully work with somebody within a community to have a little fundraiser so she could have a few extra dollars in order to go to the dollar store and make a straight purchase if she took anything. I don't know. But they went through her purse when they escorted her into the store. And it really made me feel, and it really touched me because I said, these are the things that spark anger when if she had to go serve some time. Hopefully that wasn't the circumstance. If she went to the jail and then come out and was bitter because she didn't realize that the world would be so cruel over a few dollar store items if she lifted them, that was. And so you all really have a job as young adults, millennials, whatever, iGeners, to really to try to conquer and maintain your well-balanced attitude and your persistence in trying to stay on the right track. Of course, with the gracious, you know, support of God, need to help you out with that. I just really admire you, and I really hope that you all consistently stay true to yourself and not let even the ills of society that don't do the right thing, don't let it deter you, because I have a feeling that if you still just set a good example, you for your child, you can set a good example. You for your friends, Ricardo, you know, now speaking of you, Khadija, you for your friends and the support of showing other young adults that you're going to be all right. So God bless you. I wish you all the very best.
Thank you so much.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you too.
I didn't get your name. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. My name is Antonia. That's young lady and young fella. And my show is called Informational Guru by Antonia Batts. Monday night, probably about the fourth night in every month. And I can say that I've been in the military once and for a while, too. It's not a long while, but long enough. And I think I have a lot of end things that I have conquered, and eventually later on it's going to come out in the wash that was meant to for me to lay the groundwork for people to understand you can do things for yourself and it can really benefit other people if God's willing. So thank you, and it was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Khadija, we're going to talk the next thing I want to talk about is the cancer thing. All right, check next by International Internet Radio Hall of Famer, Brother O. All right, you guys, so we have our caller four. Caller four, who are you and where are you calling from?
Peace and blessings, Ricardo. How are you?
Peace and blessings. How you doing?
All right. This is Sister Bessie from the front porch. And hi to your guest.
Hi, Sister Bessie.
Hi, sweetheart. I'm so glad to hear from the youth today. I am proud to even hear your show and how you affect others with your stories. And thank you so much for what you do, Ricardo. I wanted to speak to you all because nobody knows this, but 2 months ago, I was in the hospital and I almost died. I suffer with depression, and the new medication that they gave me increased the symptoms. So I attempted suicide. I am 65
wow.
I am 65 years old. And I dealt with a lot of stress because of what I do on the show. And I was attacked in a lot of ways because the truth I speak. And in my environment, I was getting a lot of hate. I had incidents where two cars tried to hit me, tinted cars. So the medication that I was taking increased the stress that I had. And, you know, when you're in a spiritual war on this plane of existence, you are being attacked. And the only alternative you have is the Creator. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for the prayers of other people, I probably wouldn't be here now. And there's a lot of people, a few people that know what happened, and they got angry with me because I'm a person that speaks the way I do. But you never know what a person has in their heart, what they went through their life. So no right. one can send a judgment of a person except the Creator. But when a person in our environment, and we try to teach truth, we are much hated for what we do. And sometimes we are hated by our own people. So
right.
I thank you for what you're doing, and I thank you for your story. I just wanted to throw that out there because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the people that prayed for me. And I'm an elder in the community, and I try to represent myself to the young with knowledge and try to help them. So I just want to thank you, and I just wanted to tell you my story. And prayer works.
Yes.
Well, Sister Betsy, thank you so much for your story and your testimony. And the first thing that just came to my mind when you were speaking, and you were speaking about how a lot of things on your show you talk about that are kind of like, you know, people don't want you to talk about. And it just reminded me of an incident that I had a couple of weeks ago. I'm on a podcast, and I was talking about, like, when I struggled with masturbation. And after I got off the call, I felt so much condemnation and shame at that moment. And I was like, Lord, what is this? I'm going in my mind, I shouldn't have talked about it. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have. And I never forget, the Lord took me to Ezekiel 19. He said, go to Ezekiel 19. And as I began to read Ezekiel 19, the Lord said, read. And I read, and he said, read it again. And I said, Papa, I don't understand what you're saying. And what he said to me is that the enemy wants to muzzle your mouth, right? So the attack that was on your life and which trying to make you commit suicide was to muzzle your mouth. Because at the end of the day, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, right? So when we are the light of the world and the salt, the enemy doesn't want that light there. So he wants to put a muzzle over your mouth, and it was a spiritual attack on you because of what you're doing. You're breaking up the fallow ground. You're breaking up and destroying the kingdom of darkness, and the enemy wants to muzzle that. So whenever you feel like the enemy is trying to muzzle your mouth or trying to get you to do something that's not like you, to get you to come out of the agreement of what God is doing in your life, you go to Ezekiel 19 and you read that because it talks about how the lion, how the Holy Spirit basically brought up this lion and made him ferocious, and how the enemy attacked this lion to muzzle its mouth so his voice could be lamented. Don't let your voice be lamented, and don't let your voice be mourned. Speak up, and don't let your voice be muzzled. And I'll continue to keep you in my prayers, Sister Betsy, as well as your show.
Oh, thank you so much. And I thank you again, both of you. You are inspirations to the youth and the world. Thank you. Peace and blessings.
God bless you.
Thank you. Wow, that was so powerful. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was, let's just gently, real quick, I want to go to the cancer thing, right? Because I know, you know, time is dwindling. Can you just tell us a little bit about the foundation, I Dream is Deferred, and then we'll talk about the cancer thing. Just tell me a little bit about your foundation, because I think it's incredible.
All right, so a Dream Deferred Foundation is a nonprofit organization that helps citizens returning home from incarceration to reintegrate into society as well as the workforce. And how this even came about is I have a lot of, like, family and friends that have been incarcerated. And what I realized is that when they came home, it was really hard for them to reacclimate into society. And literally, in prayer, right. The Lord placed this reentry program on my heart, you know, to help people. And the idea behind the program is for it to be a holistic program that helps citizens returning home from, like, employment to, like,
wow.
Anger management,
yes,
to independence,
Khadijah.
Like, developing, basically, literally, that's the point of the program, is literally developing that type of program for people to reacclimate them into society. And when the Lord brought it to me, I'm like, Papa, what? Like, I never would have thought it. That's how you know it's the Lord. It was just like, this is what's needed in our communities. A lot of times we like to talk about the bad things that are happening within our communities, and we never kind of deal with the issues, right? So a lot of times we deal with the root, right? We don't deal with the root, we deal with the outcome. And now it's like the Lord is pushing us to really be the light of the world and be proactive within the community and develop these programs that really will help people, and not judgment or anything, but from a place of pure love. Because redemption is for all, you know what I mean? And all of us have fallen short from the glory of God, so it's all about helping people. So that's what this organization is about. It's founded on love. It's a Dream Deferred Foundation. The name came about because sometimes you literally lose sight of your dreams, and you forget that in the mix of going through everything that you go through. And the philosophy is a dream deferred is still a dream, because no matter what has occurred into your life, you can still change the trajectory of your life and be a solution for somebody else, because we all are solutions and we all are connected.
Are connected. I think it's so true, Khadijah, because my thing is like, we're all connected, right? It's just like, if I wasn't able to do what I needed to do for Hurt People series, even with that project, like, everybody that was on there, that was their first time acting. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have had enough strength to do to do the play, and I would have never met you, and then the radio, and Jerry.
Yep.
So everything is connected. So caller 5, who are you, and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Jerry. I'm calling from Myrtle.
Hello.
This is Angela. I'm calling from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I'm just enjoying this show.
Hi, Angela.
Hi,
how are you? I am so enjoying your show tonight because it hit me in so many different ways. You know, I'm a domestic violence survivor, 7-year shot, point blank range from the shotgun. I am a suicide attempt survivor. So this is very needed, and to hear you guys talking about it, y'all make my heart so proud.
Oh,
I feel like a mama bear over here just listening to Ricardo. I am so proud
Amen.
Of you. I thank you for doing this show. I just thank you for just being who you are. You're just an amazing person, and I thank God
for you
being humble and allowing him to use you like he used you. So continue doing a great work and continue to be humble and allow God to use you.
First of all, she gets off this lane tonight. You're talking to the commissioner of broadcasting at O&E syndicated stations, the wonderful and honorable Miss Angela Thomas Smith.
Wow.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Wow.
Angela.
Thank you, brother.
Wow, wow, wow. This is beautiful.
Wow.
Wow. I'm
Thank
so
you.
Glad just to be a small part of this journey with you, Ricardo. This is amazing.
Thank you. You're amazing. So what you were also saying, Khadijah, like, about, I just feel like it's so good what you're doing, because, you know, God placing this on your heart. So many people that come out of the hood, you know, come out of jail, do their time, and they really want to get acclimated into, you know, society, and it's hard. And then they still got a record. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? And this is like they did their time. And some people actually come home and want to do better. And then because they had this record, now they can't get a job. And then some people feel like they got to go back to the block or go back into living illegally because they feel like, you know, there's no hope for them. So I think it's an amazing thing that you're doing.
Where
are you in the process of all of this?
So, like, it's like people like society just throws you away, right? Like, so we decide who are the ones that are worthy of redemption and who are not worthy of redemption, and the rest of them we just gonna throw you away. And God doesn't do that with us, because none of us are worthy. You know what I mean? And that's the whole point of the program, is like to literally walk in love and do it in love. And the program that the Lord has had me working and writing on is like to literally revolutionize prisoner reentry and change the status quo and change the way we associate with people that have been incarcerated, and bring real, about real redemption. And so, like, if you want more information as far as Dream Deferred, you can go to adream-deferred.org to learn more about our program. But it's literally a program that's going to revolutionize prisoner reentry, and it's from a place of love, and it's from a standpoint of no judgment, and it's from a standpoint of redemption, because we all need redemption, and none of us are kind of – my personal opinion, none of us have not – and seeing people the way we want them to see us. So it's all Papa. Like, I can't even act like it's Khadijah. Like, I'm this brilliant person. It's Papa. And I call the Lord Papa. That's my Papa.
Look, I know, but the people probably don't know. So, all right, up next is Papa. So Track Nick, by international internet radio show, Brother O.
All right, Khadijah. I want to, we're getting down to the wire. Can we just touch on a little bit? I know you mentioned the whole cancer thing. Can we touch on that just really, really
sure.
quick?
Yeah, absolutely. So, do you just want me to, you got a question or you just want me to kind of go in?
just go in, just give them a good maybe minute or two, just talking about, you know, what happened and, you know, give anybody,
okay.
you know, maybe hope out there that's going through this right now or, you know, just anything, whatever, you know, before we say.
So, March the 11th of 2019, I had excruciating pain. I was at work. I had excruciating pain in my chest. When I got to the hospital, I had a 3x6 centimeter tumor that was wrapping around my heart. A few short weeks later, I had got a lung biopsy, and they determined that it was a stage 2 thymoma. And basically,
wow.
it's like a cancer that's right under the thymus gland, which was starting to kind of wrap around my heart, which caused like the excruciating pain. I started chemotherapy on June the 3rd, and no lie, the surgeon, I had to see a thoracic surgeon, and he said to me, there's no way you're not getting surgery. He said, the tumor is too big, and there's no way you're not getting surgery. And I was like, okay. And it was like an open heart surgery. So not just like a regular surgery. They would have to like literally cut me from you know, chest through and break my sternum and do like a full open heart surgery after chemo. And I remember being in prayer, and I remember the Lord saying, you're not getting surgery. And I'm like, Papa, these doctors are telling me I'm getting surgery. And the Lord kept telling me, you're not getting surgery. And I remember just going through the process of chemo. And my second stage, I would get 6-hour cycles of chemo, and I had 3 different medications. And my second cycle of chemo was like the most excruciating, I think, that I had ever been in my entire life. My head was on fire. I felt like I literally was going to die. And I remember not being able to speak and not being able to move. But I remember just praying in my head and telling the Lord, like, Papa, you didn't tell me that I was going to die from this. You know, you gave me a promise that I was going to make it through. And just give me the strength to endure. And that was my prayer. And I fast from that. It was crazy because as I'm going through this process with the cancer and the chemo, my job fired me while I was on the leave. So now I'm, like, going through, like, this whole income thing. Everything was, like, happening at once, and I know the Lord was just using it to strengthen me. But at that moment, it was, like, it was really, really difficult. But I remember just staying in prayer. And fast forward, I wound up going to the hospital, and then the doctors tell me, you know, we're still going to have to do the surgery. So I'm like, Papa, you told me that I wasn't getting surgery. What are these doctors talking about? And I never forget, I come home and I'm telling my mom, I got to go talk to Papa, right? And she's like, you are tripping. And I'm like, I got to go talk to Papa because he said I wasn't getting surgery. So I go into prayer, and one of the ladies that I had actually was in my church, she called me, and I was like, look, the Lord is telling me I'm not getting surgery, but these doctors are still saying I'm getting surgery. And I never forget, she said, stand on the word of God. Whatever God says, stand on that word. 3 weeks later, I go back to the hospital, and I had to get another scan, and then I met with the surgeon again, and the tumor was completely gone. And the surgeon couldn't believe it. They called all these other doctors in there because they couldn't believe it, and they were, like, blown away because they were like, there's no way this 3x6 centimeter tumor just disappeared. They couldn't believe it, but the hand of God was in it. And I remember Papa saying to me, I told you weren't getting surgery. And all I could do was thank the Lord. And what I would tell anybody that's going through any type of medical condition, our God is able. He is a miracle worker. He is able to heal you of any sickness and any disease. And I'm not saying that you might not have to go through a strenuous process, but what I'm saying that our God is able. All you have to do is have the faith to believe and stand on his word. I don't care how bad the pain is, stand on his word. And I'm not acting like it was a walk in the park because that pain was excruciating. But the Lord said I wasn't getting surgery. And to this day, you know, and I'm 1.5 years out, no surgery. My kidneys, they said my kidneys wouldn't function well. They said that my heart would be messed up because of the medication. And I have no issues with either. Our God is able, and he is more powerful than any doctor. And in any diagnosis from any doctor. So don't agree with the diagnosis of the doctor. Agree with what the Lord told you. And speak the word of the Lord over your life. And what I also say is speak life and not death. because life is and death is in the power of the tongue. So what you speak over yourself and what you speak over your children will be. So speak life and not death. The devil wants you to come into agreement with what he's saying and not with what God is saying. Speak life and not death. And that's, yeah.
So I think that's a beautiful, before we go into Ngozi time, I'll think about the woman with the issue of the blood. You know, people don't understand that when she touched him, you know, it wasn't, of course, Jesus healed her, but it was her faith. You get what I'm saying? It's your faith, or you get what I'm saying? Like, I think about the man who was paralyzed and it was crowded and how the four men, you know, lifted the bed into the sill, into the roof, you know, and got to him. And guess what? Jesus forgave him, and it was his faith that healed him. You know, so people got to realize it don't matter what it looked like. You feel me? You got to have
it
for your
like.
Faith that's going to help you. No matter what it looked like.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? You got to trust the big man up
there.
So
it's in Ngozi.
Your faith will make you whole. It's in Ngozi time, everyone. Here's your mother's and father's favorite producer, Brother L.
Well, first of all, I got to say this to Khadija and our wonderful Ricardo and the rest of people that's listening all around the world. One of the greatest stories I ever heard as a child, and I continue this to this day with people that know my mom. They told my mother that she would never have children. And my mother believed God. My mother had me at age 41. And we're talking about 1970. Okay? All right. You are knowing I'm going, right? 1970. You know how hard it was to have a child in your 40s? Okay. So not only that, but my mother carried me with a tumor she didn't know about. And, of course, I was born, and my mother saw me. And they said, well, you know, Miss Beverly, we have something else to tell you. And there's a tumor that you were carrying along with your son in the same place where your son was. And you're going to have to stay. My mother cried. It got to the point where my dad had to make plans to be a widower. You know, he believed God.
Mm.
But, you know, of course, we, you know, we're human, and we got to do the right thing. There was a man from California, a great preacher in the Church of God in Christ. His name was, and you guys would never know his name unless I said it. His name was Pastor David Crudup. Mm. Pastor Crudup was 90 years old, and he lived in Sacramento, California. He traveled all the way to that hospital to see my mother.
Wow.
And the only thing he told my mother, Ricardo and Khadija, when he walked in the door, said, daughter, why are you in that bed? Get out of that bed. And he walked out. He walked in and said, daughter, why are you in that bed? Get out of that bed. And he walked out. My mother lived 33 more years before she passed away.
Wow.
So don't tell me the power of the Almighty Creator. I know it because my mother was that outstanding and triumphant example. Tomorrow night on these ONE stations, we come back on with a BevNet Classic. I don't know what it's going to be. We want to thank all the folks for your patience, and it will be one of the greatest shows in ONE Dynasty history. So stay tuned for BevNet or maybe Damon Classics, 9:30 Eastern. Daylight time on these ONE stations. First of all, if I go into, you know, paying the bills, Khadija, I want to thank you so much for being an uplifting voice to this network tonight and all the millions of listeners that count on us, that count it not robbery to listen to ONE Dynasty. Your outstanding testimony will stand the test of time, will never be erased from our archives. Remember that you can go into blogtalkradio.com, Khadija, and hear your voice and hear this interview forever. And did you jam tonight, girlie? Did you enjoy my music?
Thank you, guys. Thank you both. Oh, my
you
gosh.
Know, and,
wow, I'm blown away.
And you get a chance to, you know, go on YouTube and look and follow the wonderful, outstanding Nick West. This young lady is bad. When I tell you, she's only about 140 pounds and she plays the bass. 140 pounds and plays the bass. When I tell you, she's one of the baddest women I ever seen in my life. The girl gets down. And when I got a chance, you know, for her to study under the great Prince, and I'm like, wow. You know, before Prince passed away, she said, you know, we're going to pass the, you know, baton to you. The girl bad. The girl bad. Her name is Nick West from Arizona.
I'm going to follow her. I'm going to follow her.
Yes, indeed. You know what I mean? And I got to ask this question before I go into it. When is your birth anniversary, Miss Khadija?
January
27th. Yeah, powerful cat. You're powerful Aquarius. What more can we say today? Yep. You know, you ain't going to be her, and she know everything, so don't try to try her. Anyway, guys, Damon Network has advertising to O&E, which is Ola Deli and Gozi Enterprise, recently, of course. And also, by the way, before I go there, Nick West is also a Aquarius. How about that? January 26, 1989. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Damon Network has advertising to O&E, which is Ola Deli and Gozi Enterprise, recently, of course, at www.TheLookingGlassEntertainment.wordpress.com, as well as in Gozi Primetime on that. Damon.com, we're in Gozi Time, both at Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli and Gozi at Pinterest and Google Plus. Ola Deli Malaver and Gozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, Trenton Makes, as well as the Historic Determined and Motivated Online Now Network, established 2016. And any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight, Ola Deli, Donnie Goes With My and gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Deli Malaver and Gozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio and all you folks out there love my music. Yeah, I am your honeybee on turntables 1 and 2 for you, and especially you, the dynamic honeybee DJ Oladski. What more can I say? Ricardo, take us home. You got 2 minutes and 10 seconds left to go on the program.
All right, you guys. Khadija, do you want to tell everybody, you know, where they can find your book? We didn't get a chance to talk about that. Where they can find your book, podcast, and everything, you know, you got going on.
You can actually go to my website. It's KhadijaBrown.com. And Khadija is spelled KHADIJAH, and then last name Brown, like the color, .com. And you can get any information about the book, the podcast, or the nonprofit organization, The Dream Deferred. And even if you want some encouragement or somebody to pray with you, then you can send in a request, and I'll pray with you as well. So God bless every listener. Thank you, Ricardo. And thank you, O.
Don't forget to check me out on YouTube, Bitter and Broken Wednesdays, and check out me out on Facebook, Ricardo, R-I-C-A-R-D-O-R-I-C-H-A-R-D, and the same name on Instagram. Love you guys. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. Again, I'm just a young boy from the city of Trenton. You know, I want to be used as a vessel from God. So I thank you guys for tuning in. I know it was a little long-winded today, but I hope you guys was inspired, and I hope, you know, some lives are changed and some seeds are planted, you guys. Thank you so much, and I hope everybody has an amazing night and a purposeful week. Thank you so much.